Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a special continued series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined today by former winger and Northern Ireland international, Robbie Dennison. Robbie, how are you?
Yeah, good, yes, how are you?
I'm not too bad at all. And I want to thank you, Robbie, because at the minute, obviously during these unprecedented times, you are a key worker. You're a postman. Yeah. You're out delivering our mail, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Obviously, I've been doing about a year now, Jason, and I actually quite enjoy the fact that you can get out of the house without people complaining that you're getting out all the time, you know. And it's you get out, you do your round, you can disappear a little bit with regards to, you know, get your mind on the other things and forget about what's going on around you. But yes, obviously, you have to be careful what you're dealing with regards to contact with people. But I'm happy to get out of the house, get a bit of exercise, clear the mind a bit, and just keep things moving. But there's a lot more and better key workers than I am, but I'm happy doing what I'm doing, mate.
Brilliant. I mean, how long is your round, Robbie? How far do you walk a day?
Anything between sort of 9-10 miles.
Wow.
And obviously you carry your bits as well along the way, but I would find myself reasonably fit over the years since I stopped playing and stuff, just, you know, so I haven't really been carrying much weight along the way. But it was a bit of a shock whenever it did start about a year ago.
Yes,
it was a bit of a shock with regards to the physical side of it, and it did take me a couple of months to get up to speed with that. But as I said, I'm enjoying it now. And just keep my head clear, it's definitely doing the job for me.
Oh, that's good. I mean, to be honest, Robbie, you're probably fitter now than when you was playing.
I don't think so. I can walk. Mind you, I used to play at walking pace anyway, didn't I? But I haven't tried to run just yet over the last about 5-10 years, you know. But I can walk at a decent pace nowadays, you know.
Brilliant. That's good. So we. We set you the task, Robbie, of picking your best 11 from players you played with at Wolves. First off, what formation are you going to go for, Robbie?
I'm going to go 3 at the back, 5 across the middle, and 2 up front.
Wow. Now, I'd have thought, obviously, being a player who started in the 80s, I would have thought you'd have gone for a 4-4-2. I'm sure you're going to play with old-fashioned wingers.
Well, listen, in a modern game now, yes, your wingers are your fullbacks anyway, so it's basically up and down. But I've always wanted to. I think the players that are picked, hopefully this will reflect how you want to play the game then.
Yes.
And the players that are picked really fitted into a 3-5-2 better than a 4-4-2.
Yes.
So that's really where I'm coming from with a little lot. So that's why I've ended up with a 3-5-2. But at the end of the day, it's about players, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not about formations. It's about players and how they adapt to different situations now to play the game. So that's really what I'm going for.
Brilliant. So who are you going to start with in goal, Robbie?
Well, there's only one for me, really, and that's Mick. Mick Stoll.
Yeah.
He was there. You know, we started off in the late 80s, whenever I got there, 87. It was Mark Kendall, and Kendall did fantastic for us for a couple of seasons. You know, we got through the leagues, a couple of leagues, got to Wembley a couple of times, and Kendall was a great, you know, shot stopper, great character in the dressing room as well. So it was really, you know, after that, then Mick came into it. Kendall got released, Mick came in. And for the next, I think, about 8 years that I was there, Mick was the main part of it and played, I think he stayed in total about 12 seasons at the club.
Yes.
Played a lot of a lot of games for the club. The other one, you know, Paul Jones was there for a bit as well.
Yes, yes.
Jonah did really well. You know, Jonah actually ended up having to move on because he was struggling to get a first team place with Mick being there, so he moved on and did really well with Southampton. Also, Jonah was a great keeper, but over the period of time that I was there, Mick was top notch really, and it shows, as I say, with the appearances, the amount of appearances, and you know the just basically what he did for the club over that period of time, over the 12 years.
He was a great keeper, Mick. And like I said, he was quite spoilt for choice, really, because Mark Kendall was a great keeper, obviously Mickey Stoll and Paul Jones, but that's a good choice, Robbie. So who are going to be your...
I think over the years, whenever you look at probably the last 20 odd years or whatever at Wolves, or 30 years, they've done well with keepers.
Oh.
You know, Matt came along and Wayne Hennessy came along and Carl as well. You know, basically the keepers have always been a strong scenario for Wolves, so, and Mick was top notch over that time.
Yeah, that is one position where Wolves have always been, obviously, as you said, very, very strong, and Mick is a great choice. So who is going to be your three defenders across the middle, Robbie?
Well, three at the back, on the end of them all, Dean Richards, right hand side.
Yes, wow.
John DeWolf. And Mark Venus on the left hand side.
I mean, let's go through all three individually. Let's start with Mark Venus, because obviously Mark was obviously, you know, in your early years at Wolves, obviously Mark was there. He went on to have a great career. How good was Mark?
Well, Fino, obviously, whenever he first came to the club, he was left back. Fino will tell you this himself. He always regarded himself as a centre half, left side of the three.
Right.
He had a fantastic left foot. As a left back, he was good as well, but he didn't really, obviously Tumble was there a lot of the time, so he didn't really hold down a place for any length of time, you know, at left back, but he always had the ability to play on the left side of the three.
Yes.
Good defender, decent in both boxes, but also whenever he moved on from Wolves, he ended up playing on the left hand side of the three. He did a little bit of Wolves as well, but he ended up playing a lot for Ipswich.
Yes.
Whenever he did move on, and he did really, really well. And I think he proves the point that he could play there, and, you know, it gives you that balance as well on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Because he was left-footed, he had a great left peg, you know. So it gives you that balance on the left-hand side as well. So that's my choice there.
Great, Mark Venus. And obviously went on to have a good career after Wolves as well, didn't he, Robbie?
Yeah, he did, yeah. He did. As I say, he settled into the position that he really wanted to play, because I remember Robin Barney's having discussions with the leg of Graham Taylor and all, and saying that's really where he wanted to play, because I think at the time Graham Taylor had tried him in centre midfield and left back as well, and Fino was adamant that he wanted to play left-hand side of the three, and that's where he ended up later on in his career. That's where he ended up, and he did very, very well with Ipswich, wasn't
he? He certainly did. So on the left-hand side, you've got Mark Venus. On the right-hand side, you've gone for Dean Richards.
Yeah. Well, that was probably one of the easier choices of the whole team, really.
Yeah.
Dino, obviously, moved on and did great things. He started his career, obviously, he was at Bradford and then he came to Wolves. But Dino was fantastic. He was a fantastic player. Whenever he came to the club, I think he was only 20, 21 when he first came to the club.
Yeah.
And he was the first centre-half that we sort of noticed, and whenever he was playing, he was able to carry the ball and bring it forward and run into, go through midfield and do what he wanted and then continue on his runs, and even ended up in opposing boxes and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And he was the first centre-half that I really had noticed doing that. And as a young lad doing it, he looked fantastic.
Yeah.
He was quick, good header of a ball in both boxes. But just a real, real talented guy, and he went on to prove that with other clubs as well.
Oh yeah, he did have a great career, didn't he? You know, Spurs, etc. And like you said, he was a ball playing centre half, and I think obviously when you're playing in the lower leagues, you know, it's difficult to find these players. But as we went up, Dean Richards, he was so skillful for a centre back, wasn't he?
Well, he was like a modern. He was about 10 years ahead of his time. I know people say that at times, you know what I mean. But he was ahead of his time with regard to what he was able to do. and driving forward with the ball from centre half. And obviously, I think at Wolves he had the car accident. Do you remember?
He had
a bit of a car accident, damaged his knee for a bit, so that sort of held him up at Wolves for a little bit. And maybe we didn't see the best of him until he moved on, you know. But with regards to having the ability to play the game, Dino has to be in the team, man.
Yeah, what a player, what a player. And he's featured in quite a few of the best 11s. So in the middle, in between Mark Venus and Dean Richards, you have gone for the big man, Grunder Wolf.
Yeah. Is that a surprise? Yes.
Well, no, I mean, no. I mean, it was actually a surprise when Wolf signed him, I thought. But what a player.
Yeah, well, listen, Wolfie had a bit of everything, really. He had real charisma, character.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you've got hair like that, you have to be able to play football as well, don't you?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because he just had that sort of all about him. You know, whenever he walked into the change rooms, he just had that all about him, you know. And but also, he was a very, very good player. Now, Ken, you know, how old was he whenever he came to Wolves? 33, 34?
Yeah, I think he was. He might have been early 30s. Yeah.
So there was the tail end of his career. Obviously, he was over his peak, more than likely, you know what I mean? But with regards to ability and everything, and just having that confidence to be able to handle situations and handle pressures and stuff like that, he had everything.
Yes.
Obviously, to play for Holland tells you everything as well about how good a footballer he is. And I remember, I think it was in Graham Taylor's time when we got to the playoffs, when Bolton beat us that in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We were actually flying at the end of the season, and then Wolfie got injured, and Wolfie was playing really well for us at that time. And I've always said if Wolfie had stayed fit, that time it wasn't his own fault, it was a terrible tackle. I think he was against Sunderland one night. But I said if Wolfie had stayed fit in that period of time, we'd have got promoted that year, because he was just settling into to how he could play. It took him a while to settle into the game, because it was a bit of a shock to the system when he first came across. But he was a fantastic centre half, and the ability to pass balls, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards, you know, he's great ability.
Wow. I mean, to be honest, that's one thing I do remember. You know, he could play and pick out a pass. And once again, although we signed him at the tail end of his career, like you said, if it wasn't for injuries, I think he could have played a big part in getting us promoted.
He would have done, because, as I said, it took him a while to settle into things. But when he actually got injured, he was probably one of our better players at that time.
Yes.
And we did miss him coming in the playoffs and all. It's not, you know, a reflection on anybody else that maybe took his place or whatever, but it was just at that time Wolfie was, you know, really showing what he was all about. And I think we'd have got promoted if he had stayed fit that time.
Yeah, I agree.
But also, he was a threat in both boxes as well. I remember he scored a hat trick at Portfield one
day. Yes.
We won 4-1, 4-2. And Wolfie scored three of them. Confident, taking penalties as well. So Wolfie had that real ability that you needed at the top level. And obviously, playing for Holland, he played at the top level.
Yes, certainly. So in midfield, I take it you're going for two old-fashioned wingers and three across the middle. So let's start with who is going to be your right-sided winger.
Well, I wouldn't call him a winger, really. Obviously, they need to get up and down, don't they? And whenever you have a five, when you're defending, you have to be able to defend as well.
Yeah.
Yes, you know. So the one on the right-hand side, I'm going for Tomo.
Well, yeah. I mean, right? To be honest, now, that's it. I was going to say, when you're playing five across the middle, yeah, you are going to be playing wing-back. So Andy Thompson.
Yeah. Well, now, listen, there's various people came into mind whenever I was sort of picking this. As I say, I sort of settled on a formation before I sort of settled in players. But
yes.
The other couple of players I'd probably like to mention was Jamie Smith.
Yes.
Whenever he played, he came in as a young lad, full of energy, could get up and down. He actually started as a winger, Jinky. So yes. When he got forward, his great ability, Jinky, you know. But also he loved to tackle, Jinky. You know what I mean? He loved a bit of a launch.
Yes.
From about 20 yards, you know. I don't know how he would get on this day and age, Jinky. He'd be getting booked and sent off most of the time if he didn't change his ways. But he had decent ability to play that wing back scenario, because
yes,
he could get up and down. Great energy, and he ended up he did play. you know that position quite a bit.
Yeah.
And the other one I would like to mention is Kevin Ashley.
Who's sorry?
Kevin Ashley.
Yes, Kevin Ashley. Yeah, now, great player.
Now, well, listen, if you're talking about ability, right, and this is really why I've mentioned him, I said everything. He had everything, and sometimes it just doesn't work out, you know, with regards to maybe injuries, you get injured.
Yes.
Sorry, Jason, I've got a bit of a sore throat, actually.
No problem.
And it's not the virus, don't worry about that. But,
I hope not.
That's the first thing people think, isn't it? But,
yeah.
But anyway, the what do you call it? He just had everything. He had pace.
Yeah.
Great ability on the ball.
Yeah.
Love the challenge. You know, anybody taking him on defensively just couldn't get past him. But also whenever he got forward into forward areas, he just got real good ability to do what he needed to do as well. And unfortunately, it didn't quite work out with Ice, but he should have played more games for Wolves.
Yeah.
And stayed a lot longer than what he did, but it just didn't work out for him.
I think the problem was for Kevin Ashley at the time, the $500,000 price tag is actually quite heavy.
Yeah, and he was only a kid, wasn't he? He was 20, yes. 21.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think circumstances sometimes is just you get the crossroads at times, and yeah, they go one way or the other, and unfortunately, Ice went the other, but he had fantastic ability. But then you come back to Tumble, and Tumble, for me, could have played most positions for you.
Yes.
Maybe not centre half for goals, but he could have played and give you performances week in, week out, Tumble.
Yeah.
Mainly played full back.
Yeah.
But with regards to wing back, he could do that as well. He could get forward. He got a good engine, Tumble. Defensively, really, really solid. But whenever he got forward as well, he had decent quality with what he was doing as well. So, and obviously, you know, with regards to how long he was at the club, 11, 12 years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Obviously, the amount of games that he's played over that time as well, I think Tomo has to be on the side because we'll play alongside each other for a long, long time.
You've come up the leagues with each other as well, and you've seen the changes.
Yeah.
You know, you played in front of you know, two sides of the ground, then you've seen the big stadium develop. So, you know, obviously
yeah.
He's a good friend along the way, wasn't he?
Well, good friend, yeah, but you knew every week in, week out, what you were getting from someone.
Yes.
Stood up whenever you needed a penalty, someone to score a penalty as well. In the early times, he stood up and took that as well. But
yes.
Just you know, he deserves to be in the team for the service to the club and obviously the performances along the way.
Yes.
Along the way, he deserves to be on the team. So
100%.
That's what I've gone for.
Great choice. So, if Tomo's the right wing back, who is going to be on the left side?
Steve Froggatt.
Oh, I thought you was going to pick yourself, Robbie.
No, I wouldn't do that. Just you know me. I wouldn't do that. No, listen, not a wing back anyway.
Yeah, you ain't pressing back.
Might give myself a free role somewhere in the team, like. But I'm not playing wing back. I started playing wing back when I was 32, 33, and nearly finished me off, mate. You know.
Brilliant.
So I wouldn't do that. But listen, then Froggy was fantastic. You know, Froggy. He could have played left back, but in a five, Froggy would be absolutely, well, he played in a five along the way for Wolves and different things, but he just had the ability to do everything that a wing back needed to do.
Yes.
Good defensively, had an engine on him that he just could keep going all day long.
Yeah.
Up and down, and it got real pace on him as well, and crossing wise and the ability to shoot and fantastic strike on him, and obviously left sided as well, which gives you that balance on the left hand side as well. So
yeah.
Froggy had the ability to to do all that, so that's why he's in the side.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Steve Froggatt's featured in quite a few of these teams, and you know, I do think once again he was crippled with injuries, which is such a shame because I don't think
yeah.
we actually got to see the best of him.
No, I think you're right. Just because I remember the day he got injured down at Reading when
yeah.
there was a real nasty challenge as well, and Froggy just been settling in and starting to do really well. And you're right. I don't think he moved on to Coventry, and
yes.
I think he got an England cap along the way as
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't think he was really 100% right after that challenge with his ankle and stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously that was a a big loss to the leg of Wolves and other clubs that he played for. But
yeah.
But if you just go on what he did at that time and the ability that he was showing at that time, then yeah, he would definitely make my team.
Brilliant. So with your three across the middle, who are we going for, Robbie?
We're going to go for... But could you just mention one other person at left back, by the way? And
yes.
This might surprise a few. At left wing back, Neil Masters, right? Now, it's similar to Ash.
Yeah.
Right? And I just, you know, Neil Masters had all the ability in the world. Right? He had a touch to die for, right?
Yeah.
As a left back. He had one of the best left foots I've ever seen. He loved the challenge. He was a bit of a tank, and he gets stuck in.
Yeah.
And he was quick. He was quick. He maybe didn't look to other people, but he was quick as well.
Yeah.
Ability wise, he was fantastic. Just, but
wow.
once again, too many injuries. Struggled to come back from injuries because he was a little bit prone to putting on a couple of pounds, you know. So, just struggled to come back from. But if you look at ability wise, if you could get him playing and get him fit. He was as good as anybody ability-wise, but unfortunately we didn't see the best of him at Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, once again, when we signed him, there was a lot of hope and promise, and you know, you could see the potential early doors, but once again, we never really saw it in a Wolves shirt, did we?
No. And purely because he wasn't fit, just...
Yeah.
He couldn't, every time he looked as if he was getting himself fit, he got injured, and then he just seemed to be one of these types that, you know, if it took someone 4 weeks to get back fit again, it might take Neil 6, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it was just one of those things, and that's not going to follow in any shape or form, but it's just some people are quicker recovering from injuries than others, and he never really got any momentum in the team, any length of time in the team, because of the injuries kept cropping up, and unfortunate, but he had fantastic ability, really fantastic ability.
Brilliant. And he's obviously a fellow Northern Islander.
That's got nothing to do with it, yes.
Okay, we'll leave that out there. Brilliant.
No, listen, yes he is, yeah, and he's from back home and stuff like that, but listen, this is going on ability, mate, don't worry about that, it's ability, and he had great ability, and yes, he did understand me better than most of the lads, you know, but he was a good lad, and a really good player, but as I say, Wolves fans didn't see the best of him.
Brilliant. So, midfield then, you're three across the middle, Robbie.
Well, the three I'm going for, well, I'll tell you what, I'll name the first two, because I'm still in a bit of a dilemma with the third one.
All right.
I'm going to go with Kevin Keane.
Kevin
on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Gordon Cairns, centre.
Sid Cowens, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll leave the left just for 2 minutes here to think about it. I've got a list of candidates to the left hand side. You might have to help me out with it, just. I'll go with Keeney. Kevin Keane was obviously the theme of my team, hopefully, is people who with great ability who can play.
Yes.
Right. And football and wise, but also with the energy and enthusiasm to play as well. And Keeney had all that. Keeney was obviously brought up West Ham.
Yes.
You know, and they brought up footballers, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and he was non stop. And then the other person who is very, very similar, and probably the two of them together, you know, it came down to the two of them really with regards to this position. That was Paul Birch as well. Both of them had so much energy, enthusiasm. Every day was the same with them. You know, they came in and they were just, you know, just full of, you know, come on, let's get going, let's play, you know. But I think Kev, I think it was just a wee bit more mobility maybe about Kev.
I think with Kevin Keane as well, he really was, like you said, he'd been, you know, he'd started his career and been brought through at West Ham, and he was a touchline hugging winger, and he really liked to get out wide and get the cross in, didn't he?
Yeah, but just I'm actually playing him inside, right? Because
he could play
inside as well. Yes, he was, you know, maybe at West Ham and stuff more on the right hand side,
yes.
Right? But whenever he came to Wolves, I would say if you look back, more than likely most of his games were just tucked inside a bit.
Yes.
Because you wanted players like him involved.
Yeah.
You've got Tumble wide on the right hand side, so I would want to get Kevin Keane involved more in the game.
Yeah.
And if I'm playing five, then you want people who can play.
Yes.
And Kevin Keane tucked inside, just inside the leg of Tumble, is where you want him to be. And footballing wise, he was different class. Yeah. Really was different class.
I actually thought he was a bit of a surprise signing as well. I was surprised he left West Ham for Wolves at the time.
I think it's all about playing games, isn't it? Just, yeah. You know, I think at West Ham he wasn't getting the amount of games that he felt he wanted. So you have to go off and try to get a move where you can start playing games again. And
yes.
I think that was the case with Kev. Kev would never have been happy just, you know, sitting on a contract or whatever and just not playing games. He always wanted to play. And he's a great lad, you know what I mean? Always wanted to play, but great ability in everything he did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just hardly ever gave the ball away, kept things moving, and was just a really, really good footballer.
And in the middle of the park, one of the, you know, a great player from your era, Gordon Cowans.
Well, listen, Sid only came to Wolves at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Right, I think he just did the one season probably whenever Graham Taylor was there.
Yeah.
Graham Taylor... I'm sure Graham Taylor brought him to the club, right? And Sid came and he was 35, 36, I think it was around about that.
Yeah.
But Sid was an absolute Rolls Royce. Jason, you know, and I'm really picking him, you know, because I would love to have played with him when he was at his peak.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he came to Wolves, he was over that edge of his peak.
Yeah.
But still, in pre-season, he was at the front of every run. Right, he was cruising alongside Steve Froggatt and people like that, and Sid was at the front of them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, but on the ball and ability wise in training, good players make things look easy.
Yes.
Right, and it's the same in any sport, you know, cricket and football and rugby and all that. The really good players make the things look easy, and they seem to have time to do everything.
Yeah.
Sid was one of those, and Sid just sitting in the middle of those of the three. Would be just keeping things ticking over and talking to people, and he would be fantastic in that time.
And like you said, he was a Rolls Royce, wasn't he? You know, he really was a luxury player.
Yeah. Honestly, he was the front. Whenever he came, he was 35 or 36.
Yeah.
Front of everything in pre-season, and we were looking at it, going, "What's going on here?" You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But just, you know, as I said, I would love to play with him whenever he was in his prime.
Yes.
Because he must have been a fun player. Because when he did come to Wolves, you could just see the ability and the quality that he had.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. So. Who are the players that you've got a quandary with for the left side?
Right, I've got a list of them. Well, I'll start off with, obviously, on the left-hand side, I want someone with the left foot.
Yeah.
Right, now we've got Cookie, who's got the best... Well, listen, Cookie's got a left foot that was as good as anything I'd seen.
Yeah.
Quality set pieces. He had an engine as well, Cookie. He mightn't have showed at the times, you know, but Cookie had an engine where he just could have kept going and motoring all day long.
Yes.
So real, real enthusiasm, real energy with regards to that as well. Another one, Jeff Thomas.
Yeah.
Jeff was there. Obviously, Jeff was there. Was really unlucky with injuries, Jeff. You know, Jeff, whenever he first came to the club... He was flying. I think he scored 8 goals in 12 games or something.
Yeah.
Went to Sunderland, got done up in Sunderland, I think it was Lee High.
Yes.
And his cruciate and Jeff, you know, at Wolves, I don't think he really got back to where he was with it. And that was just so unfortunate for Jeff, but also for the club itself.
Oh, and for the fans. Signing.
It was massive, you know what I mean? And he was showing what it was all about up until that day in Sunderland. And then I think it was about 2 years or so, really, before he got back playing again, because I think he did a couple of operations on his knees, you know. And so I think everybody missed out on Jeff, really, including Jeff.
Yes.
Because all he wanted to do was play, and he had so much energy, enthusiasm. He dragged everybody along with him, Jeff.
Yeah.
To the point of he had been shouting for the ball whenever he wasn't anywhere near. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He always wanted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he always wanted the ball. He always wanted to get involved, and that was That was Jeff, and obviously he was a leader as well, Jeff. You know, he kept in Crystal Palace and stuff, and he was a leader. So he's another one. And the other one who has got absolutely fantastic ability as well was Chris Marsden.
Oh, you see, right? He didn't play many games for Wolves, but you could see his potential massively, and that obviously followed him in his career.
Yeah, Chris came, I forget who, he played the first couple of games for Wolves, and I think he was man of the match in both games, right? But he absolutely, he just walked into the changing rooms on the Thursday, whatever it was. He got real belief in his own ability, Chris, you know what I mean? Was so enthusiastic, wanted to get on the ball, would have taken it off anyone, you know, he'd accepted the ball anywhere on the pitch. You know, because he wanted to get involved in it, and that takes real bravery at times. You know what I mean? But and he had real quality on the ball. The only thing Chris maybe lacked, and he did. He had a fantastic career. Don't get me wrong. He went to Southampton and all, and did really, really well. But if he had another yard, 2 yards of pace, he would have been absolutely top drawer. And because he was just a fantastic footballer. So he would be another one, and obviously things didn't quite work out with him. Either could he get injured? He was flying. He got injured. I think Graham Taylor was there.
Yeah.
Really bad injury. Had a bit of a fallout with the gaffer and didn't really play again and was moved on then.
And it's a shame because once again his potential when his first few games, like you said, his man of the match in his first two games, you could see the absolute quality player he was.
It was he was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, and sometimes, you know, fans don't really see that. You know, fans need to be seeing people over 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and then they can give an opinion on it. But whenever you see someone, whenever somebody walks in the door, and within 2 or 3 weeks of training or whatever, you know what people are about, really.
Yes.
And how good they are, and how much ability they have, and if they stay 6 months, 2 years, whatever it is, you as a player sees that player, and sees it. Ability that they have, and Marzi was fantastic, you know, absolutely fantastic ability.
So out of those three,
but then,
I mean,
well, who would you pick, this?
I mean, okay, if it was, I would pick Paul Cook on the basis that I think we did see the best out of him. You know, he steered clear of injury for most parts. And I just think with Chris Marsden, he was fantastic. But I don't think we've seen enough of him. Once again, Geoff Thomas, we signed him and probably at the peak of his career, and then he got injured. But I think with Cookie, if you want someone on the left, that left wand was just ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, that's who I'm picking.
Not just
because you said it. But that was good. That was my choice, really. I mentioned the other two as well, and that was probably the hardest. Decision out of the whole team, really, with regards to who would you pick out of it. And one out of the three would fit in really, really well with it. But Cookie, I think, you know, he Cookie could do different things. Cookie could, you know, run all day, up and down, energy. As I said before, set pieces, which he would probably be almost a set piece in this team, were fantastic. But also he had a range of passing, Cookie, you know, that no one else maybe in the team has. Wolfie at the back has a bit of it. Vino probably at the back have a bit of it as well, but in midfield Sid would have just kept things moving. Keeney would have been a bit the same, but Cookie would have given you that range of passing from, you know, 5 yards to 50 yards really, Cookie. You know, with that left foot that he has, and I think balance-wise and everything about that, you know, could be fits in great.
And I remember there was a couple of games, and I think it was Brighton away and Blackburn at home, where he actually scored direct from a corner. Now, that takes some doing, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but people with Cookie's ability, you know what I mean? It's not a difficult thing to do, you know, with regards to get it on target.
Yes.
Because you'd be practicing that. Whenever I did corners, that's what I was practicing. But obviously, you've got 10 or 11 people in the box, and they're trying to clear it, aren't they? So to actually do it and score, I think it takes a little bit of luck. But he has got that ability to set pieces are always about getting a bit of pace in the ball. And Cookie could always do that.
Yes.
And that allows you, your attackers and defenders to go and attack the ball then. And Cookie had that ability to do that.
Brilliant. So, moving up top, who's getting your goals? Who's your two centre forwards?
Well, you probably know what I'm going to say, don't you?
I'll write them down now.
You've already written them down, haven't you?
I mean, to be honest, Robbie, look, we know who they are. What was it like playing those two seasons, 87-88 and 88-89, where, as a winger, you're putting balls into the box or you're cutting inside and playing balls through the middle for them? I mean, they must have been a joy to play with.
Well, listen, obviously, we're talking about Bully and Mochy, yeah?
Yes.
Just to put everybody right. Yeah. The main thing for me when I looked at what I was going to do and how you were going to pick, and I played with good centre forwards. Ned was a great centre forward. Don, yeah. Whenever he played up front, Don was great. But really, it's about a partnership, right? Now, the best partnership that I played on Robbie Keane was just coming into the fray whenever I was sort of leaving at the club.
Yeah.
So I could easily shoved him in, but that's not why I would do that. But I played with these two for probably 4 or 5 seasons whenever I first joined, and then Mochy unfortunately moved on.
Yeah.
But it was really the partnership. Now, what made it tick? To be quite truthful, they probably don't even know themselves. But there was pace in it.
Yeah.
There was strength.
Yeah.
There was goal scoring ability.
Yeah.
There was mobility with regards to Mochy was more mobile than Bully. Bully was really in and around the box player.
Yes.
But they made life so difficult for centre halves and defenders of opposition sides, because yes. of what they had together as a partnership. You nullify one, the other one would have popped up and scored a goal. Now, if you're looking at goals, the two of them, Bully obviously was mad really with regards to the amount of goals that he scored, because Mochy was a 1 and 2. If you look over Wolves career with Mochy was scoring 1 and 2.
Yes.
He played over just 200 odd games and scored over 100 goals. Now that's fantastic, that is. Now, but then you look at Bully and he was scoring maybe another 20% on top of that, or 30% on top of Mochy as well. So and to have the two of them there,
I think that's the thing. You had Bully score 50 odd goals for 2 seasons running, and you had Andy Mutch scoring between late 20s and 30 for two
yeah.
seasons running.
Yeah.
And he was the second top scorer. In any other team, he'd be the top scorer.
Yeah, so but you really got close to 60 goals.
Wow.
Just from yeah. your two centre forwards in those first 3 or 4 seasons. Now, if you can't have a reasonably successful team, with regards to that,
yeah.
Then there's something wrong. You must only be playing one at the back or something, because there's something wrong, because that amount of goals that you realise you're probably getting the season from those two would put you well on the way to being successful then.
I mean, Robbie, you must have thought every time you went forward in those 2 years, you must have thought every attack, this is going to end up in a goal.
Well, listen, they had a bit of everything just right. They both could head the ball.
Yeah.
They both had pace to get away from defenders. They were both sharp in the box.
Yeah.
Mochy was strong both sides as well, on the left-hand side and the right-hand side.
Yes.
Mochy assist-wise as well, with regards to what he set up for Bully and other people, was good as well. Whenever you look at his record for doing that as well, that was good as well.
Yeah.
But just from the point of view that even in your bad days, you knew you had a chance of winning games, yes, because you could defend on your bad days. Don't look as if you're getting anything away from home. Then all of a sudden we'd get someone going forward and one of them would pop up and would win the game 1-0.
Yeah.
We did that quite a bit, because you have to do that quite a bit over the season to be successful, and we did that quite a bit in the early stages, and that's what you always knew you had in your side with regards to getting something out of games, because the two front lads, if you were keeping clean sheets, they'll probably nick you one at the end of it all.
Yeah.
On your bad days, and you end up winning the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really, and the partnership, you know, it was the best partnership that I came across at Wolves in my time.
Yeah.
And that's really what the two of them have got in this time.
Oh, yeah, two fantastic, obviously, servants and players for Wolves, and the goal records speak for themselves. Who would manage this side, Robbie? Who's the...
I think you would have to, Jace, wouldn't you?
Oh, I don't know about that, mate.
Do you know what? Listen, there's difference. You know, I played under, the three managers, really. Graham Turner, at the time, obviously brought us to the club.
Yes.
And he did fantastic for everyone at the start of that period of time, whenever we were getting things back on track again, and really worked things with regards to... Everybody works hard. He got a good nucleus of lads together who really just wanted to be successful. So he did fantastic then. Mainly a 4-4-2 man, really, with regards to how he set up.
Yeah.
Played 3-3-5-2 a little bit in the later times, but mainly 4-4-2. Graham Taylor, much the same, but, you know, 4-4-2, liked his wingers paced down the sides.
Yeah.
So really, you know, with regards to who would manage it, I think, now I'll mention Mark McGee as well, but Mark McGee wouldn't be managing this team, so that's the end of that one.
But anyway, that one.
Yeah, I would say I would give it to Graham Taylor.
Graham Turner. I mean, that's a big call for you, Robbie, because like you said, well, you know, Graham Turner, you know...
There's nothing between the two, really.
Yeah.
There's nothing between the two, but if you want me to name one, then I'll go with Graham Taylor.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, he managed England, he managed, you know, the top level, Premiership. Yeah. Graham Turner did it a little bit, but so really, I would go with Graham Taylor. And then Graham Taylor... And you know, with the period of time that I was involved with him, he was only at the club for about 18 months, but
yes.
He was really, really fair with how he treated me. Was a good man manager, really, with regards to how he got the best out of people. And obviously, some people didn't fit in with what his plans were, but he always seemed to get the best out of people with regards to who was in the side and how he wanted to set up and all. So really, that's why I would go for him.
Brilliant. Well, your team, Robbie, 3-5-2, in goal, Mickey Stoll. Across the defence, Dean Richards on the right-hand side, Mark Venus on the left-hand side, John DeWolf in the middle. Across the midfield, your wing-backs on the right-hand side, Andy Thompson, left side, Steve Froggett. In the midfield, on the right-hand side of midfield, Kevin Keane. Left side, chose by you, Paul Cook, and Sid Cowans in the middle. And your centre-forward, yep. Steve Bolandy Much, and the manager, Graham Taylor. You pleased with that, Robbie?
Yep, I'm happy with that, mate. I must admit that there's, you know, whenever you sit down to think about it, I might have forgotten someone, you know what I mean? You sit down and you think about it, because I was there for 10 years, Jace.
Yes.
But hopefully I haven't really forgotten anyone. But at the end of the day, I look at that team and they can play. They've got good ability. I think we've got goals in the team.
Yeah.
Defensively solid as well. So I think that would do all right in this day and age, mate.
That is a brilliant team, Robbie. So I want to thank you for your time. I also...
No problem, Jess.
I want to thank you for all the hard work you're doing on the post. And we look forward to getting you back on the Wolf Whistle soon.
No problem.
Cheers, Robbie. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now.
See you soon, mate.
Bye.